The letter to the Hebrews. It's a difficult time. This epistle went out when believers were being challenged. Some were still wanting to hold on to some of the Old Testament rules, as if by obeying those rules, that's how you get into heaven. Some wanted to hold on to the modified version of the Old Testament rules, which was what some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees had done. They had changed things to fit their own purpose and to certainly make themselves look good. And then others started to embrace more of the Greek kind of stuff, the mythology, the idolatry, the worshiping of gods and many gods, and they got into more of the different kinds of sacrifices that wasn't honorable to God. And there were the other teachings that were starting to pop up. Today we would call it Gnosticism. It was the trusting of knowledge, that knowledge was pure and righteous, and the material things of the world were bad. And so you wanted to get all the knowledge you could, because that was good, but you didn't want to gather all the stuff and be a hoarder, if you will. You only wanted to have what you needed, and then they believed that was the right life, and that brought eternal life. All kinds of problems were popping up. And it all stems from this notion of thinking. Started in the garden, this garden called Eden. You ever heard of it? Okay, that was the place. I've never seen it. But there in the garden, there was this hypothesis, this free thinking. It was suggested by one of the creatures. It was a snake, the serpent. We know that it was the devil. And there he said, "Surely you will not die." That was his free thinking. And when Adam and Eve looked at that fruit, never tells us it was an apple. We always picture an apple. It helps us in our mental image of things. But it's just fruit on this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they partake of that fruit, all of a sudden, they were no longer free thinkers. They weren't free to think what God wanted them to think. They weren't free to follow God. They were no longer free to honor God. In fact, they were no longer free in and of themselves, because there in the scriptures it said they didn't have any clothes on. And they were ashamed. And so they covered themselves with fig leaves, because they were no longer free to see the beauty of God's creation. But now everything was tainted, including their own sexual identity. And they were ashamed. And when God came walking in the garden, you remember what they did? They hid. They were no longer free to be in the presence of God. It changed everything. But ever since that time, sinful nature has been wreaking and tearing and raising havoc and destruction of our thinking and in our heart. The Bible says out of the heart comes lies and murders and slander and all of that. And that is true. This is the seat of our personality and our sinful nature. And the heart, then, those passions, they drive our thoughts. And our thoughts, and we have all these cravings. And it's not just our stomach, it's our heart and it's our thoughts. And what do we want? We want donuts for lunch. You know, and we want high sugar when we're diabetics. And we want, you know, a whole lot of carbs. And we want, you ever watch people at a food banquet, a buffet? You ever noticed, it's not like home, is it? You put some on your plate and you want to leave some to share. But it's like a mountain of food. you know. And you think, boy, if I eat all this, I won't have to eat for days. And 6 o'clock comes around after that noon meal at the buffet, and you're going, what's for supper? That's our free thinking. The moment we get some, we want more. And the moment we get more, we want more of more. How much money is enough? That's the thinking. So into our world comes this message from God, and it brings out the past about free thinking. So look at your lessons from Hebrews. Verse 12 starts, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Philip by the name of Wallace, he's a scholar, he wrote, literally that might be translated as a heart that is evil because of unbelief. Free thinking so often stems out of unbelieving. We do it to our parents as kids. Don't do that. You're going to get hurt. The free thinker says, no, we won't. Right? What happens? Someone gets hurt. Yeah. Don't do that. You're going to get sick. No, I won't. And next thing you know, the porcelain bowl is in front of you. Free thinking wreaks trouble. And it's not just in the consequences for our body, but it also has a consequence for our soul. That wanting to be a free thinker in such a way of claiming independence severs our relationship from God. And it stems or it feeds an unbelieving heart. And the scripture says, don't do that. The absence of faith is a place where there is no power to see the truth or the reality of sin. There is no wisdom to guide you in decisions. There is no gospel to grant you forgiveness and free you from guilt and shame. There is no hope because it's all up to you and how well are you doing. Verse 12. You see those words? This kind of unbelieving heart, it tells you, leading you to fall away from a living God. You see, we're saved by faith, but right now the world thinks we're saved by free thinking. I've lost count. Maybe you know. I don't know how many sexual identities there are now on forums. You know, especially with internet kind of things where you can put so many drop-down menus, it's absolutely insane. And that's the result of free thinking. But it's worse than that. How many ways are there to heaven? And the drop-down menu shows up again, and it tells you there are many paths, and they all go to the same place. And it doesn't matter how you live or what you think, you get there. And that too, we are not free to think according to the scriptures. Sinful nature convinces us that free thinking is nothing but independence. But free thinking is really living without God's truth, God's wisdom, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace. How many people have you known that have just chased after peace? And they did it through recreation. They did it through buying. They did it through eating. They did it through whatever it was. They tried to find peace, inner peace. And chasing after it like that, you only end up with more torment. And so Paul reminds the believers, the Hebrews, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And going back up top, then, that none of us may be harmed by the notion that we are free to think what we want to think. This is America, right? If that's what we believe, then this is a precursor to what hell will be. Complete separation from God. Where there is no free thinking, but only pain. And there is no free version of finding hope because there's only suffering. It doesn't end well. Now, why is this relevant inside the Christian church? Because the changes are not only in our world outside of these walls, the changes are attacking us. When we listen to people today, those who say, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they still mimic or echo the free thinking of our world about what is true. We're challenged by creation versus evolution. We're challenged by Christ is the only way to heaven versus universalism and all the world religions kind of stuff. We're challenged every day about what is marriage, what is parenting, what is living for God, what is happiness, what is joy, what's fun. And so we live, so many people live as thrill seekers, and it gets edgier and edgier all the time. I watched this guy snowboard. Now, you all know I don't like heights, right? So once I realized what this program was about, and the guy was up this very, very tall mountain, and it was obviously winter because there was snow, and he's going to snowboard down this mountain. And he's getting ready, and it shows him his boots and that, you know, the long snowboard, and, you know, he's going to go in there, and he's not skiing. He's got not two on his feet, you know. He's got this one board. And he's going to go down a mountain. And I shut my eyes. Because he's got a camera on his helmet, and he turns, and he gets ready. And I said, change channel. The things we do are as nutty as that. Right? We refuse to trust God. We fret, we worry, we become sleepless. I've been there. I've done this. I'm not lecturing you as if I've done everything righteous. Gwen has a whole list. I mean, yeah. She's got her own list. Do you understand? This notion that we are free thinkers because we live in a free country is absolutely stupid. It's not a polite word. It's not a complimentary word, is it? And it mimics what happened in days of old. Now, to go back to the history lesson, look at what Hebrews does here in this chapter. He brings up history. Now, when people are arguing, don't you hate it when someone brings up history? Right? You know, do you remember? And then they have this list of history of failures. Well, this is what the Bible does for us. And it does it for a point. Not to smack us and beat us, but so that we learn that we are not, and we don't have to be, so foolish, so ignorant, and ultimately stupid and dead, spiritually dead. And it brings up the people in the days of Moses. Remember they were in bondage? God brought them out. Now, God really showed his power, right? Whew. 10 plagues, dividing the water, getting across, providing water from a rock. Man, making the bitter water sweet. Manna from heaven. Wow, God's power. How could you want to be a free thinker? But it indicates they were free thinkers, right? What did they do? They rebelled. What is free thinking according to God? Nothing other than rebellion according to his truth. And the result was they all perished in the 40 years of wilderness. The Bible says none of that generation got into the promised land. They were not allowed to enter God's rest. It's amazing how we think free thinking is so cool, so far out in front of everybody, but actually it just puts us way in the back. Separated from God, separated, divided from one another, from the truth of God. And the encouragement is, don't do that. Do the opposite. Think what God says is true. And encourage one another with that truth. That there is forgiveness. You don't have to hold on to shame. There is hope. You don't have to just wallow in that despair. There is mercy. We don't deserve any of God's gifts, but he gives them. There is so much more in the scriptures with God's truth, and it all works, than we find in the free thinking of man. Do not lose hope. The Bible says it another way, about let this mind, you know, let our minds be transformed in Christ Jesus. Let our hearts be changed in Christ Jesus. That's the way the Bible says it. But it just means, don't be free thinking. Be a believer. Amen.